Visible is a wireless carrier that is not invisible. It is pretty clear from the name. Actually, radio waves are invisible. And I can say this with authority as a licensed amateur radio operator. That being said, Visible won't be giving you the power to see light outside the visible spectrum. It's actually way better because having that ability would make getting around very difficult and distracting. What you do get with Visible is unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You get one line of wireless, just $25 a month, which is great in these times of economic uncertainty. That is one line for $25, taxes and fees included. So whatever you're doing at this moment, please stop. Switch immediately. Now, monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen!
Welcome to Nintendo Voice Chat, episode 369. If you haven't watched us before, we're a weekly Nintendo show here on IGN, on YouTube, everywhere you're watching your favorite programming. We have a great show today. Couple of big topics. We're going to talk about five things that we want changed in Splatoon 2. We're also going to talk about the latest Switch release, and that's Sonic Mania, a game that all of us, I think, have been anticipating for a while. And then we're going to go through the latest news, including the grand debate of flight versus invisibility, but we'll get to more of that after I introduce the panel. I'm Perry Schneider, your host, and with me today we have a new face. Who are you?
Hi, I'm Lily Zaldivar, and I am a huge Inkling Splatoon fan.
Hey, Lily. Welcome to the show.
So I've always wanted to have Lily on because every time we go online and play Splatfest, she's the one who completely takes me down. So maybe we'll have a little revenge story here. We also have Brian Altano.
That's right. Hi, I'm Brian Altano. Nice to meet you. What's up?
What do you do here at IGN, Brian?
Not a lot. Not much. Just kind of, I just live in this corner and they put the camera on me every now and then.
Sits in the studio. I'm amazed sometimes you're on Up at Noon at the same time live and next to me
studio. It's weird, right?
It's a trick. And we of course have Jonathan Dornbush returning.
I'm sure. Hello.
Our man for all news.
Here. Yes.
And, who owns a Switch and plays a lot of Nintendo games.
So
very welcome guest. But we are going to go right into the latest news, from the world of Nintendo Switch. Not a lot of 3DS news out there, but a little bit of stuff.
Yeah.
First of all, a little bit of housekeeping. IGN, is taking NVC on the road. So that's good news. If you like the show, we will be, at Gamescom, next week. If you're happening to go to the biggest gaming expo in the world in Cologne, Germany, look sharp. You'll see us running around like crazy trying to cover the show. And you're doing a live show, right?
We will be streaming live for 3 days, and Damon and I are handling most of the heavy lifting on that. But we've got tons of games coming on, some Switch stuff here and there, and it should be cool.
So if you're looking for us, just tweet at us. That's the easiest way to find us because we're off the concourse in a little private meeting room running our studio set there. But we will be around and there will be much ice cream and much beer and all that stuff, right?
Really? I feel it's like a weird way to power our bodies through 3 days.
Ice cream and beer.
Just a ton of sugar and pork knuckles.
Yeah. Can you go for that again?
Yeah. I didn't know what that was until last year. That's a big thing there.
Yeah.
It's like basically the big cartoon Monster Hunter meats. It's just like this bit and they put it on a plate and it's weird.
Can you pick it up with one hand?
It's a crunchy pork knuckle. It's not weird.
I don't like those words together.
It's pork knuckle.
I will eat them again.
Well, the English word sounds weird. So yeah.
Pork knuckles. But yeah, it's going to be an awesome show. I'm very excited about that. PAX is going to be great.
Much closer to home. We're going to be at PAX West.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we are doing a live show at PAX West, Sunday night at 7:30. You need your badge to get in because it's part of the sort of main convention center. Do you know the name of the theater it's in?
No.
It's something stupid. It's like something Sasquatch.
Like Albatross or things like that.
Summer Nut. Something
We'll have more details on the next show, but you know, come find us at PAX.
Yeah.
We will do a live panel with some of your favorites from NVC. I think Zach is going to be there too.
Yeah, Zach's going to be there. We're doing something really special. We pitched to PAX to basically let us do a thing where we rank the top 10 Nintendo games of literally all time. So
should be easy.
We're going to do that with audience interaction. So if you're there, you're hanging out Sunday night. I think Game of Thrones is over by then. So just come through. There's, what are you going to watch? Like Ballers? Just come through, hang out with us.
Don't you insult The Rock.
In prepping for it, we built a spreadsheet, a Google Doc between us, and kept ranking games. And every time Zach would add something, we'd delete it.
It's bad. So
it's going to be bad.
Like I always say this, like when we rank things at IGN and we're like the top 10 this, people go in the comments and like, you're wrong, you're wrong. We're doing that here before you can even tell us we're wrong. We're yelling at each other. So these are heated things. It's going to be really fun. We're going to somehow get some sort of consensus on one of the 10 best Nintendo games of all time.
It's not going to happen. So,
and this will be the official list for all time.
For all time. It can't be changed ever until next
year.
Week.
Okay. The pressure is on.
Pressure's on.
So Gamescom, you got to tune in for that. You know, obviously the times are a little off because Germany is on a different time zone, but we'll have lots of videos of Nintendo games as well because Nintendo's bringing Mario Odyssey and Samus Returns, and Sega is there with Sonic Forces. So not actually Sonic Mania, which just came out and we're talking about later, but Sonic Forces, the next installment.
We're also hearing about a bunch of really cool indie stuff coming to Switch that'll all be at PAX, so I will do my best to get my hands on with that stuff and play it before it's here.
Perfect segue, hands-on. If you want to get your hands on a Switch, they're actually in stores right now. So the last week, Switches have popped up at GameStop as part of like bundles where you have to buy a giant freaking Snorlax plushie or something with it.
sounds like a great deal to me.
But Toys R Us, Amazon had both systems in stock for $2.99 without anything packed in. The colored controller version went really quick, but the gray one was around. I think it's still around as we're recording this.
Nobody wants the gray one.
Because it's sad. It's for sad people.
Don't insult me.
What color combos you guys got?
Gray.
Bought gray originally, but I have red and blue now.
Okay. Really?
Yeah. Wow, okay.
Yeah. What about you? You got gray?
I have gray.
Oh, man. Yeah, me too. It is
I want to get the neon green and pink ones, which isn't fair because it's in the Splatoon 2 bundle that's coming out.
Well, good news for you. That bundle is coming to the U.S. So if you haven't been following the news, what was once Japan and Europe only, we'll actually see here in the U.S., but only at Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And only in bundle form for $379. It's got a download code for Splatoon in it, but it has these little babies in it. So if you want to invest in it, we don't know if they'll ever be released separately in the U.S.
They're so good.
You can also import them probably for $100 from some foreign.
This is, can I say real quick, this is kind of a weird bundle because it's $379.99 and a Switch is $299.99 and Splatoon is $60 carrying case is $20. Yeah. It's not really a bundle. It's just somebody putting stuff together for you.
I see those.
Like you're not saving any money on it or anything like that.
I feel like those have become more and more common where it's just because the word bundle carries so much cachet that people assume that they're saving a lot, but
well, there's a reason.
It is true.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like I definitely know that with the neon pink, neon green Joy-Con, you think that it would be like a little bit like the pricier, but you're just getting that one Joy-Con, right? You're not getting two. So why is it that much?
Yeah, you're getting both sides, but you're not getting.
It looks cool.
Yeah.
I get it.
And but, so you'll still have to buy the Pro Controller separately if that's what you want to.
So the challenge for retailers is that they don't make a ton of money off hardware.
Yeah.
It's always been the story around console launches too. Retailers are happy because you come into the store, you buy games, you buy controllers, they may sign you up for a Game Informer subscription or whatever, right? Yeah. Like they love that halo effect, just like how, fast food restaurants love it that you buy a Coke. That's how they make their money.
Right.
And that's the challenge. And that's why a lot of retailers like to bundle stuff together to ensure that you'll actually pick up stuff. And,
for sure.
You know, a Splatoon code doesn't cost them anything. They don't have to have, copies in stock or on the shelves.
So. And it keeps packaging sizes down.
I wish it had come out earlier though. I would have bought that before Splatoon 2 came out.
It is weirdly timed because it's not like – that's why I think this is odd because like if they had saved this for the fall and you could save a couple bucks on it because you weren't an early adopter, then that's an awesome deal. But for people who like diehard Splatoon fans just bought all of this stuff or just bought Splatoon, they already own a Switch. Like it's just weird timing.
I think they didn't know how many units they'd be able to make because this is – the timing is super odd.
It's right? So
there's
odd.
No happens rhyme after it comes out. For it.
Yeah. No, and it's the same way I look at like them being like, here's the new 2DS. And then a week later, they're like, here's the new Samus 3DS. Like the timing on all this is just odd.
So I would say though, if you're a parent and you're thinking about getting your kid a Switch for Christmas, just buy it now. Get this Walmart edition now.
Yeah.
You do want to have Splatoon installed on your machine. Like I just flew, I was on an airplane playing Mario Kart with a friend. I was so happy that the game was installed on my system. I didn't have to switch cartridges or really think about bringing it.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. Yeah. I mean, I see a lot of debate about physical versus digital when it comes to stuff. mm-hmm. like that. But mm-hmm. the reality is I play so many indie games that almost like, I mean, I would say probably less than 50% of them actually get a physical release.
Yeah.
So you're going to need a memory card anyway. So you might as well, you know, buy a bunch more digital. But I understand the logic behind getting physical stuff. I just, when I'm on a plane, I don't want to switch out Mario Kart, put in Splatoon, especially if you're just playing like one match, one race.
Yeah. I almost, Darren, who works for IGN as well, is like, hey, you want to play Mario Kart? He was like sitting a couple of rows in front of me and I'm like, oh, I didn't bring Mario Kart. And then I'm like, oh, thank goodness. Yep. I have it installed yeah. in the system. Yeah. So you want that.
Oh, absolutely.
Couple of releases, not going to go into detail. Minecraft Story Mode is out on August 22nd. Mm-hmm. Good if you love the Telltale games, you know, good quality game, especially if you're into
it's
Minecraft.
A solid entry. Yeah.
Solid.
Yeah.
It's not yeah. my favorite.
No,
series.
Not mine either.
Certainly Walking Dead season one was much
yeah,
better.
Yeah, I love Tales from the Borderlands.
Some really awesome Wolf voice Among actors. In
oh,
one,
yeah.
By the
cast
way.
Is great. Patton Oswalt.
Patton Oswalt, Paul Rubens, yes, Brian yeah. Posehn's in it, Corey Feldman.
Yeah, it's a very varied cast. Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
It's very Goonies meets Minecraft was the way it was sort of yes. pitched to us
That's
originally.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
Fun game. Jackbox Party Pack 1 and 2 is also out. They're $25 each.
Yep. Have you guys played these before?
No, yeah, but you like
yeah,
them. Right?
Yeah, they're awesome.
I love them too.
Yeah. So the cool thing about this is that they interact with your mobile phone. So oh. your Switch, you can bring your Switch anywhere and basically queue up a code on your mobile phone so that everyone who has a phone around you can use their controllers and your Switch becomes your sort of TV screen. So you don't really use Switch controllers to play this. You play this with phones. And it's like weird, like trivia question stuff. It's like, sort of like drawing, like,
yeah,
drawing
challenges. Yeah, there's right? a host okay. of party games, yeah. yeah, and it's all kind of making fun of each other and making up fake answers and yep. fake ideas, and it's yeah. a lot.
And you control each other, like, it's good stuff to have, like, you just get some alcohol and get some friends together.
It's
or juice.
Party game, yeah.
You know, if you're yeah. into that.
OJ. Well,
mm. OJ, a nice night.
A little bit of apple
water.
Juice.
Salt.
Salty.
It's a party favor.
It is a party favor.
Another game came out, but only in Japan. And, I wanted to just briefly touch on this because this might be a franchise that comes to the US. And that's, not with that name. The Snack
no, I
World Treasurers.
Well, I hope it
Snack
has that
World.
Name.
Treasurers.
Yep. Treasurers.
Treasurers.
Well, it's a take on Treasurers, but
got
it's
it.
Spelled Treasures. So this is actually from Treasure. Level 5, the company behind Layton, behind Ni No Kuni, yeah. and obviously okay. good development studio, Yo-Kai Watch.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a late entry into Toys to Life.
Yeah.
So they released with Takara Tomy, they released little keychains. Ironically, the Switch doesn't have the hook, as we learned from Miranda.
Miranda. Right? It means it's not a handheld,
but
officially.
Like, the keychains have NFC chips in them.
Yeah.
So you can actually read them. And it's an RPG. You know, these guys obviously know what they're doing when it comes yeah. to RPGs. Very weird consumption-based theme, around snacks and all that and these little trinkets that turn into weapons.
It's interesting because like 1 out of 20 of these things really hits and resonates with a worldwide yeah. audience and yeah. becomes a global phenomenon.
Yeah.
But until then, you have a bunch of stuff. Like Yo-Kai Watch was like kind of strong. It just didn't do what Pokemon did.
It didn't yeah. push through
exactly.
around the world.
And this game, so it's only out for 3DS and mobile phones. It came out on mobile earlier already. No Switch version yet, but you know, we'll see where that goes. Obviously, Level 5 would love to make that transition, I'm
yeah.
sure. But it just came out and in a week it sold 100,000 copies. So it was instantly number 2 on the charts, just beaten out that week by Dragon Quest for the 3DS
mm-hmm.
and just ahead of Dragon Quest for the PS4, just on that week's worth sales.
I'm totally drawing, I'm drawing a blank, but Ubisoft also announced at E3 that was
I believe it's Starship Atlas.
Yeah.
Something along those
yeah.
lines.
Which
yeah.
it has like Toys to Life, Star Wars, the X-Wing thing.
Touch yeah. one or two of them, like mess around with it. Yeah. And I liked the idea of it, but it is that thing of can a Toys to Life game break through now?
Yeah.
Now,
and it's
right?
coming,
yeah.
and it's coming to Switch, and it's, I think it's like really peculiar because like it's kind of a portable system, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you've been in a position where you're on an airplane and you pull out an amiibo, but like that's totally a thing that we could see doing in our lives.
But these are keychains.
Yeah.
So for this, I mean, the concept is sound.
Yeah.
But we'll see. There's a, just like with Yo-Kai Watch, there's a cross media approach. So there's a tie in with a manga. There's a magazine called Kodokodo Comics. So they'll have a comic strip in that one. Could be interesting. We'll see. Mm-hmm. I mean, Level 5 games usually come to the West, even when they have weird names like Ni No Kuni, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully we'll see that here. Quick story from the news front.
Hello.
From EA. What
Down
happened?
In the trenches of news.
Yeah.
So EA's executive VP, Patrick Soderlund, basically he was giving an interview with Edge magazine and said FIFA coming to Switch will sort of be a bellwether for them of what if they bring more games to Switch. EA is going to look at the success of FIFA and sort of measure that as if they'll bring their other franchises.
I'm so sick of hearing this.
Which it's a thing that Capcom said exactly the same about Ultra Street Fighter 2.
Yeah.
That sold very well, and then they were like, oh, we're going to make more games for the Switch. This thing seems
Here's
popular.
Some Resident Evil ports, yeah.
Yeah, well, and so the interesting thing is Patrick Soderlund, when the Switch was first revealed at that initial event earlier this year in full detail, he talked about in interviews, he was like, I'm a huge Nintendo fanboy, that's why we're here days, and we want to support it. His son's middle name is Luigi. So he's called himself, he's a self-proclaimed Nintendo fanboy.
Yep.
So there's clearly love for it, but I think it is just there's a concern from all these companies who are so used to things working a certain way of seeing this brand new entry and not knowing what it will mean for them and their back catalog. So they're taking hesitant steps, which I understand from a business standpoint.
I just think, but why is FIFA the litmus test?
That is the thing.
Soccer is popular, obviously bigger in Europe and Latin America than over here and fairly big, obviously, in Japan, it's pretty big, and the FIFA franchise does well, but it just feels like, it's like if you go back to the early days of the Wii, 2K made a huge amount of money with carnival games.
Yeah.
They looked at this platform, you said, you know what'd be good on this machine? This kind of casual game collection. That was the right game at the right time, and they made so much money with this thing. And I feel like this is like, well, this is our biggest sports game franchise, and obviously a big hit for them, but is that really what the Switch is all about?
Mm-hmm.
Will it be a sports game console? Like, I feel like never.
I don't think so. I feel like, I agree, like, with the carnival games, because when I think of my Switch, I have, like, a lot of co-op games that I play with my friends, and I would definitely get a carnival game if they brought one to the Switch, but FIFA, I don't think so. Like, I don't think I would get one.
Yeah, I mean, you can play FIFA co-op, but, like, would you?
No.
Like, I think the litmus test thing works when it's a game that will resonate with the audience.
Plants vs. Zombies.
Sure.
Right?
Yes. That's a great idea. There it is.
The weird thing about FIFA for me is that if FIFA sells very well, you can't necessarily say it's because it's on Switch, because it is, obviously, FIFA is massive around
it's
the world.
It's tremendously popular.
Just be that, and if it doesn't sell well, it may just be, well, the install base may not be FIFA fans.
Exactly.
You may not know.
So, and that's the thing, like, you look at what Capcom did with Street Fighter, right?
Yeah.
Like, they put that game on there. First of all, that game resonates with almost every gamer. Second of all, there's, like, a rich history, because Nintendo fans are, they're people like me that grew up playing games like that in the arcade. Yeah. Third, like, Ryu was in Smash Brothers. Like, there's a connection right there. I keep elbowing
failed,
your microphone.
It would be a bit of a sign.
I'm in this small prison over here. but, like, I don't know, Pele wasn't in Smash Brothers, or whoever else is playing soccer these days. Back me up. Pair.
He was not.
I mean, for me, I'm a little
Pele. He's really up.
That would be an amazing downloadable character.
I'm sure if someone photoshopped that before
probably.
The game.
For me, I played FIFA a bit back in the day. I'm a little lapsed, but I like the idea of having that on the go, and I can play a season's worth on the go with me. But it's not necessarily designed solely.
No, there's
as a
nothing
Switch
wrong.
Game.
Yeah, I like that it's coming to the Switch. I actually think that variety is great. I just feel like it's a weird thing to
it's
tie
the weird
it towards.
Bellwether. Absolutely.
Like, really, you're gonna wait and see how it sells, and then start making Switch games. That's too late, EA. Come on.
Yeah.
You put PVZ on there, put the freaking Piranha Plants from Mario in there, right? Like, do something that speaks to that audience and brings something unique to the platform.
It puts pressure on someone like me to buy FIFA so that I can get Plants vs. Zombies down the line. And, like, that
sucks. That's how you think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, if they're like, hey, it's on you guys to save our business here. I'm like, no, it's not.
No, I felt that weird pressure when I saw that story. I'm like, well, I haven't bought FIFA in 5 years. Should I buy FIFA so they put more games on the Switch?
Yeah.
Like, that's a weird thing for any consumer to have to think.
Yeah. Like, I want Star Wars Battlefront on my Switch, like some sort of weird downgraded version of it, but I don't care. I love Star Wars. There's no Star Wars on Switch right now.
Yeah. How about a different Star Wars game? That'd be cool, right?
Sure. I mean, EA's got the license.
Ooh,
make a Star
nice.
Wars game for Switch, but they can't until I buy damn soccer.
I mean, in the way that Ubisoft...
Yeah, I'll call it soccer.
You can
see
do soccer, FIFA Star Wars edition. I would do it.
Okay, that's not
the ball is a FIFA
Star Wars edition.
After Kinect Star Wars, I want nothing like that ever again. Star Wars is sacred
to
me.
Yeah. Let's move on, guys. Much more important discussion. So Nintendo announced the next Splatfest for Splatoon.
Yeah, they did.
Coming September 1st and September 2nd. Sadly, I think the time that we're flying to PAX.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, so we'll see if we have a good hotel.
Shame for you guys.
Shame.
I'll be playing the Splatfest.
Good hotel internet connection though can make that happen. So the theme is... Superpowers, flight versus invisibility.
And there's one right choice.
Okay, what's the right choice?
Oh boy.
Flight yeah. is the right choice.
Easy. Done. Thanks for watching.
It's so obvious. It's been a good show. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
So hold on a second, though. I mean, I would flight. Pick flight, too. I feel like flight is going to be the overwhelming choice because when you pick invisibility, people are going to look at you funny, right?
Well, so...
But they can't look at you.
So, I 100% agree that flight is like 100% the correct choice. But everyone is going to talk about invisibility because it is Marina's choice. That is what she wants.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, well, okay, flight, 100% the best choice, but Marina is picking invisibility.
So
does that give us a 50-50 popularity, or is it going to give us the 27 mayo, 70 whatever?
Right,
that was ketchup.
Yeah,
well, I think, well, that's a problem. Like, cause then we're not, they could do a 100,000 spot fest, but we're really debating those two characters, right?
Yeah.
Like, so hold on. So invisibility though means,
no one can
Robbie
see you.
Banks?
You can't,
now I get it.
But
I don't think your clothes turn invisible or things you carry. So you can't really go like walking into a bank and take the money bags, you know, they have
It wouldn't turn invisible.
It wouldn't turn.
Well, no, so there's a lot there's a lot of questions up in the air about all of
what this.
Which then you would have to be naked.
Yes. So it also like you can't eat.
What do you mean?
Food would just be
that's weird.
It's weird, right?
I feel like that's like when it becomes part of your body. Like for a second, you see a hamburger when you eat it, but then it disappears.
He means as you're eating.
As you're eating,
like you mean while you're chewing.
Are you talking
right?
about like
or do you mean as it would go
stomach?
Through your entire digestive
both and all of these things? Yes, all of these things. So like if I go to steal pizza, which I'm not going to pay for pizza anymore if I'm invisible. Sorry. I support local pizza places, but I got
you already turned bad. You don't even have the power yet.
Okay, so you pick up the pizza slice, and you start eating it, and
it's
then
still visible.
It's floating and then
it
disappearing
is.
In front of
no,
people.
No. It the pieces go down. You can still see them.
No,
and then after a couple minutes, they turn translucent because then they become part of your body. Like your body becomes like 5% pizza when you eat it.
It sounds like a horror movie.
It goes away.
All right, what about your feet on the floor? You walk around this dirty city with your bare feet, stepping on weird needles.
The dirt will be visible unless you eat it.
Well, so there are different.
I haven't worked this out.
There are different terms of invisibility. I think some forms of it are you're wearing clothes and you turn invisible, those clothes turn invisible. But if you add anything to yourself, that is visible.
Yeah, that's just magic at that point. That's not even realistic.
So
that'll be great stuff to think about while I'm flying.
So flying. I'm just worried about flying. Like I love a short commute, but like flying in the Bay Area, like you guys aren't scared of kites?
No.
Kites?
No.
Kites everywhere.
Nope.
I've
like
haven't
you're flying
seen a
around,
kite.
I was like,
no, that's not even in the top 100 things I was worried
We're not
about.
At a beach
I'm
in
really
the 1940s. There are no kites.
Yeah.
There are lots of kites
I haven't
around.
Seen
a kite anywhere.
No.
What about,
kids are on their phones
what
now.
What about cold? It's like cold everywhere.
What about cold?
Yeah.
See, that's the thing though, because if you pick flight, you can save money, you can get like a sweet jacket,
and then you
bundle up, and then you're like, all right, let's go to Cabo, and then you're off.
But if you're invisible, you have all the money, because you can
but
just
that's the
always
thing.
Take
if
the money,
I'm, if
you
I'm,
just gotta eat it.
If I'm
make it
flying,
invisible.
Mm-hmm. I'm not invisible.
Okay. Exactly.
I've picked my
And if
choice.
You're invisible, you're naked and colder than
and
when
then
you're
And then you
flying.
Save so much money.
Exactly.
I think we're gonna have to phone the audience on this one. What do you guys think? Flight versus invisibility. I want to get a general breakdown. I think we will run a poll on IGN as usual, where you can vote between the two so you can get a sense to, you know, what people are going to pick, because there is the little popularity vote factor when you're playing Splatfest, but then there's also the skill. You know, if you're a Mayo player, obviously a much better player than a ketchup player.
Whoa, that is fighting words. I am.
That's right.
Don't.
Tuck it up.
Mm-mm.
Mayo player.
Nope.
It got even grosser. It got worse. Suck it up, Mayo player. Don't say that. This is a children's show.
Ketchup, right?
Yeah, I'm for ketchup. I love ketchup.
Yeah, team ketchup.
I don't want to suck up.
You're the only one who did mayo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did ketchup.
I have taste.
Always.
Kara, what are we playing these days?
we're playing a couple of games. So I've been playing a lot of Severed on the airplane. And really, really digging it.
Yeah.
I wish I didn't have to use the stick to move around and could just tap on the screen.
Yeah.
You know, I do actually think the iPad version is a little better, but it's such a great game. So clever. Yeah. kind of nasty too and gross.
I found the best way to play Severed is you detach the Joy-Con, you just kind of hold it casually and then just lay the system flat.
Oh, okay. Like that. I didn't even think about that.
Think about that.
Yeah. See, I go for max battery when I'm in the airplane. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to do the Bluetooth thing.
Don't you have the charging, everything I told you to buy?
There you go again with your logic.
The art style is very, there is like a gross nature to it though that I kind of love as you're walking through, and the creature design is gross, but also just things in the world are dark. There is a very dark undertone to the entire game, and I love it.
It's like that boy pinned to a tree with like branches coming out of his eye sockets and stuff. Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. Very creepy game. Recommended. It's just 15 bucks. If you want something very different, this drink box really knows what they're doing. But from a even smaller developer, a new 3DS game came out. It's called Chicken Wiggle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This game's really fun.
Jules, watch him. We had him on the show actually way back when we're still in the podcast room. Jules joined us.
Yeah, he's been just like a really awesome supporter of Nintendo systems for a very long time now. Yeah. He's done stuff like Mutant Muds. He did Dementium. He did Moon, which was basically an episodic first person. It was kind of a shooter, but like more about adventure and stuff like that. Right. Just really cool guy, makes a lot of really cool games. And this is a sort of 2D action platforming game, kind of in the line of like Mario Maker and stuff like that, but a little more, kind of simplistic.
I mean, it reminds me a little bit of Box Boy or maybe, the Yoshi games, and that your character, like Banjo-Kazooie, is made up out of two characters. It's a chicken and a worm, and the worm almost acts like a tongue or like a, a grappling hook.
Yeah.
So if you're standing below an opening in the ceiling, you can kind of shoot the worm through and pull yourself up and do it sideways. So it makes for a lot of clever little puzzles on how to get every item in the level.
Yeah.
There's some hidden stuff that you have to find hidden in the walls. And it has this really kind of beautiful 16-bit art style, like super clean, super smooth, dead on controls.
If you played Mutant Muds, which you probably have, because it's been ported to literally every platform ever made. It's also coming to Switch, in case you missed it. But there's sort of like 100 like diamonds you have to collect, little sort of like coin card looking things. And then, they're back for this game. So there's 100 of those in every stage. And then you can also spell out the letters F-U-N. So it's kind of like a nod to like Kong and Donkey Kong Country. And you have to collect all three of those letters. But the platforming feels really good. It's really precise.
Yeah.
The art style is really clean and fun. The music's kind of poppy. Like I keep saying to myself, like, oh, 3DS, I got to turn this thing on again. And then I sit down and play something like this. Like if you haven't bought a Switch yet, this is a really awesome sort of like when I feel like years down the line when we talk about like the swan songs to the Nintendo 3DS. This is going to be one of those games we're going to be like, that was a nice little gem to sort of come in towards the end of the lifestyle.
And it's, the title, it sounds derivative, right? It sounds like Chicken Little. And then like when you look at it, you're like another 16-bit game, but Jules is just really good at nailing controls, puzzles.
Yeah.
And then the main game is actually, I think, the small part and the small effort in developing this game, because it is like Mario Maker.
Yeah.
It has a full-fledged level editor, and the developers, I think it's a two-man team.
Yeah.
They actually used that tool set to create all the stages. So you can make your own stages with different themes, very wide stages. You can tag them and upload them. So if any of our fans, NVC fans, are playing the game and you upload a stage, put the tag NVC into it, because we can search for it and we can play some of your stages. So don't forget
for sure.
To do that.
Yeah, awesome. Honestly, I was playing it last night and I was like, this feels kind of like a long lost Super Nintendo game.
It totally, right? And it's very, it feels like a Nintendo game.
Yeah,
too,
it does.
The 3D on the 3DS in this game is really nice. It has like translucent clouds in the foreground layer.
To be honest, that was one of my favorite things about Mutant Muds, was playing it on 3DS.
Yep.
And it got ported to all these platforms, and it's still a really strong, like very precise platforming game. Mm-hmm. But without the 3D, like something was missing, And I really like the 3D effect in that game. I really like it in this game. I have a feeling this game will come to Switch eventually.
It sounds like a really well-designed game for the platform it was made for.
Yeah, completely.
And that's I always appreciate developers who do that, where they think about where it's going to be played on.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, I think these guys have done a really good job with that over the last few years with the Nintendo 3DS. And like, this is cool to see something this awesome this late in the life cycle.
Yep. Great.
Don't write it off. 15 bucks on the 3DS. It's definitely a game that I'm going to keep on playing.
Yeah. What a deal.
If I can ever get a breather from travel, maybe sit down and make a couple of levels and upload them as well.
If only you could bring the 3DS with you everywhere.
Yeah, that's
Home
like the Switch.
Tethered.
It's just so heavy.
happy. Brian, you've been trying something that's not a game.
Oh, yeah, that's
I
right.
I put this down as Brian's Funky Stick.
This is a sequel to Nestor's Funky Bowling. So I got this thing called the NES 30 Arcade Stick. It's made by a company called 8BitDo, which if you've been tracking the wireless controllers for Nintendo Switch recently, they've made like these awesome NES pads, Super NES pads, just like all these different controllers that will sync wirelessly with your Switch. So the cool thing about those things is you can bring them anywhere. They're super portable. They're really easy. But what if they were gigantic?
Tell me more.
8BitDo just made a arcade fight stick for the Nintendo Switch. It also works on PC and Mac. It's $80. It comes out August 20th. And this is like a big, legit, Bluetooth-enabled wireless fight stick. You can also plug it in via USB to USB to the back of your Switch when it's docked.
It's like the size of four Switches.
It's seriously,
right?
It's really interesting to play. It's so much significantly bigger than the actual system itself.
You had me at... It's an arcade stick, and then you went, it's this big.
Yeah.
It's never mind.
It's like legit, like, yeah, it'd be cool to get a tiny little arcade stick. We'll get one of those one day. That'd be awesome. But I tested it with a bunch of games because I'm an idiot. I played Street Fighter. I did Hadoukens. That was perfect. I tried playing Breath of the Wild. That was not so great because it's only got one stick. Because it's a fight stick. So anything with dual camera controls, Snake Pass was a wreck, by the way.
Oh,
that was like the hardest game to control.
Nope.
But for 2D platforming stuff, for old school arcade stuff, there's a bunch of Neo Geo games on the Switch that like, you might remember playing with controls sort of like that.
King of Fighters.
I booted up with, the Namco Museum and played like Miss Pac-Man or Pac-Man and it was just perfect.
Oh yeah.
So this thing's really cool. It's shaped, or sort of like design aesthetically is a nod to the old NES, like original NES gamepad color schemes. It's got big red buttons and that sort of like gray and off-gray color scheme. I really like this thing. You can also take it apart if you want and kitbash it, mod it with your own buttons. You can screw it into a table, bolt it down to something, build an arcade set with a dock in it. Like if you want to make an arcade at home for your Nintendo Switch, just do that now. Like that's nice. One of your options.
Awesome.
So I really dig this thing. Check it out.
They
August
make very
20th.
Cool stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the big release last week though, is of course Sonic Mania. Sonic is back on a Nintendo platform. This is not. I mean, I have my original Mega Drive here in the office. You
right.
know, I bought one when I lived in Japan. That's the Genesis. And I loved playing Sonic 1 and Sonic 2. Played Sonic 2 two player with my friend all the time. Mm-hmm. And then you know, kind of after Knuckles, I kept on running into games where I was like, yeah, Sonic CD was good. And then Sonic Adventure, I'm like, I want to like it more than I do, but it had so many like camera issues and stuff. And so I kind of like my love affair with the Sonic franchise kind of teetered out with the move to 3D.
Yeah.
And then this game just basically goes right back to the beginning and like it's an all new game. It remixes the stages, but it feels so true to the original.
Absolutely.
And actually improves on it in so many different ways. Were you able to play it?
Yeah. It reminds me a lot about like when I was a kid and I would turn on my Sega Genesis, and that's what I want in a Sonic game most of all, is just like going back to what its root is. That's why I play Zelda. That's why I play Mario. Because it goes back to those times where it's like, this is how I love Sonic and Knuckles.
Right. I've always said that there's sort of like two, and you kind of like stepped on it for a second there, but there's like two groups of Sonic fans. There's the ones that grew up in the 16-bit era or grew up with those games.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like the Sonic Adventure fans. And they want like the garden where you collect those little animal things.
Chouse. Yeah.
Yes, and they want the orca whale
downhill
to
running.
And they want to run downhill. Yeah. Past
I want
the,
a giant whale to come chasing at me as I'm going off.
Yeah,
here.
But I'm like you guys. I mean, I had a Genesis when I was a kid. I played like Sonic when I was a kid, and I've gotten in so much trouble in the past on IGN shows for saying this, but like I played those games a lot. I never really loved them because I feel like they don't necessarily like capitalize on. I don't think that they're great platforming games because they kind of halt to a stop so often. But I think that when they get moving, like there's a great momentum to that. There's this great energy to them.
Yeah.
I appreciate the hell out of the art direction and the music. Like all of that is really fun. I'm more fascinated in this release because it is so perfectly nailing something from an era that I think so many people have forgotten how to nail.
Yeah.
Like it's sort of like when you watch like it's like watching Stranger Things, right? Where you're like, oh, you guys nailed the 80s aesthetic perfectly.
Yep.
And then you watch other stuff where people are doing nods to 80s stuff and you're like, this is like a cover band of a cover band of a cover band. But I think these guys, and it's mostly, thanks to Christian Whitehead, who's been working on these ports for a very long time and helped develop something brand new here. I'm fascinated in the way you make it like a widescreen, sort of perfectly in line 16-bit classic game.
You know what's funny? It's actually the widescreen format is so much better for Sonic.
Yeah. Right? It really is.
It gets so fast that you want to see what's ahead.
And
in the older games, you know, the ones I grew up with, to a fault, like, make you really enjoy the speed. And like, you start off and you're going through the loops and then, there are the spikes, right?
Yep.
Or
you're underwater.
There is a bridge that collapses, or you fall and you can't see. You couldn't tell that you were going to die when you fall there. And there are moments in this game still where, you know, like, you're guessing, it's like, is that, am I falling to my death, or
am
is there something down
fall?
There?
Yeah.
But the game is much fairer when it just lets you run. Like, you want to go, it's like, it's a pinball machine at times. It's just like super speed going through stuff. You see alternate paths, and so it makes you want to go back and explore. But some of that anxiety that I had when I played the original games, where I'm like, oh, what about that? What about that? Oh, let me slow down and then boop, jump up and explore. Like, it removes a lot of that in favor of just enjoyment of running and speed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can imagine, like, people who play this a lot, when they get really good at it, it's going to be so much awesome fun to watch.
Runs. Exactly. Yeah. I'm excited to see the speed runs in this game.
Yeah.
For me, the thing, I grew up kind of concurrently with those. I inherited my mom's Genesis and was playing the 2D Sonics as I was playing the 3D Sonics as they came out on sort of GameCube and things like that. I had the marriage of both. And so I have a soft spot for both. And I think, like, a great Sonic 3D game, there have been some really good ones. But what I love about this one is that it feels like a marriage of the old school Sonic gameplay. And it's nailed so well here, but with a modern Sonic sensibility.
Mm-hmm.
Because Sonic has become, like, the persona of Sonic is online and this very meme-y sort of
Sick.
Thing. And very humorous. And it's like Sonic on Twitter is very self-aware.
Yeah.
And this game is aware of that. And it plays into sort of the tone of things in this game. And I kind of love that they found a middle ground for both and it works.
I always liked the character, and I always liked the idea that this wasn't, you know, obviously there was this Mario versus Sonic rivalry, but Sonic was such a different game in that, you know, you rolled up in a ball, and like, actually some later Nintendo games borrowed that, you know, that ball mechanic and the kind of speed running stuff, including Mario, right? What I really love about this game is it removes a lot of the death traps, but it stays true to the feel and look of many of the levels, and then it just goes bonkers. Like, there are like machinations and pipes that shoot you all over the place, and like little, you know, like little funnels that make him roll in circles before going through the pipes, and like out pop a lot of numbers, and it's a lot of machine. And then you fight a boss, and this might be a minor spoiler, so skip 10 seconds ahead, but it's Mean Bean Machine. It's a boss.
Yeah.
So you play Puyo Possum.
Awesome. You
know,
the entire, when we saw that in the game for the first time, five people crowded around the screen were like, what is going on? Like, that is awesome. And that's what I love about this thing, is that it's clearly made by fans of Sonic.
It's self-aware.
It is so self-aware, but it's also a love letter to that franchise. Yeah. And I agree with you. It keeps the momentum going through the levels, even when you have to pause because it needs to do an animation. You still feel like you're going through and progressing.
Right.
And the boss battles are awesome.
And it has the 3D stages from, CD and where it's kind of like the pseudo 3D kind of bend world, and you have to collect all the blue orbs.
I love the little hidden stages you can find. Oh, they're so great.
Like, almost like Mode 7 levels, but this feels like Genesis. Like, the way Mode 7 looks and feels was always slightly different from what happened on Sega consoles when they did 3D like that.
Yeah.
And this feels so authentic and right. And the game runs awesome on Switch, looks great on Switch, and it was a joy to play this on the go, too.
It
has two player as well.
Yes.
Yeah. I really hope Nintendo takes note of this and they realize that it's possible to make like a 16-bit Super Mario Brothers game that doesn't look like new Super Mario Brothers. I feel like they ran that art style into the ground over the course of a decade.
A little bit. I was thinking about that when you guys were talking about it, because in Super Mario Odyssey, they do kind of touch on it.
Yeah.
When Mario goes through the pipes, and then you become like an old 8-bit like Super Mario. And when people saw that, they got super excited about it. Yep. So maybe they'll bring it back after Super Mario Odyssey in the future.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah. I mean, Mario Maker obviously kind of played with that some stuff.
Yeah. But I want like just an original new 16-bit widescreen Mario
World
game.
Like Nintendo's level designers to do a Super Mario World 2, basically.
Exactly.
That'd be really cool, actually. But yeah, this you know, this version, Tantalus Media ported it to the Switch. It's quality stuff.
Yeah.
And I also love the story of the creation, you know, that the creator used to make fan games in the very beginning and then, you know, was employed to port games and now has taken like the engine that he helped create, is powering a new Sonic game in the style of the original ones. I think
it reminds me of the story of, I'm drawing a blank at the developer, but the guy who created the, Metroid 2 remake that Nintendo shut down, got a job doing level design stuff for Ori and the Blind Forest 2 or whatever you're calling it.
Oh yeah.
Will of the Wisps.
Yeah. Which is like, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Like that's like you start off like, playing cover songs and then all of a sudden you're working for the band.
Yeah.
You
know?
But, yeah, I played a bunch of Sonic Mania. I think it's, honestly, I think it's a must download on the Switch. Just, and it's $20.
$20,
yeah.
Keep it around, keep it running on your machine, and then obviously you can do two player as well.
And you unbox a special edition, right?
Yeah. So there's a collector's edition. That one costs $80. It was sold out initially at launch. I don't know if they have more. But it comes with a 12-inch Sonic statue that is him standing on top of a Genesis. And the Genesis, you can, toggle the on and off switch so that it plays the Sega startup noise, which is, I spent like 2 minutes in the video just toggling back and forth.
That's awesome.
That was great. Comes with like a collector's card and a Sonic Mania cartridge. It doesn't actually play, of course, but it looks like an old Genesis cart and you slide it out and there's a sort of a manufactured ring, like a Sonic ring in there.
Oh, that's
and
great.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's a pretty solid collector's
edition. Yeah, that rules.
Very cool. We are now going to switch topics. We're going to talk about Splatoon 2. We've got two people who are really excited. Are you still playing Splatoon, everybody?
Yeah, here and
all
there.
The time.
I still pop in every now and then.
So I think you're probably the biggest Splatoon 2 player in the office, right?
Probably.
With Brendan, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah? Like, obsessively so?
Well, I'm not a high level and I don't play League as much because, we'll get to this discussion about it, but, I do play it a lot. Splatfest, I'm like on it a lot. I have teams that I join every so often.
Yeah.
So I am a huge Splatoon 2 player.
You played Splatoon 1 as well?
Yes, I did. I played it competitively.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. Well, that explains my many deaths at your hands. so we are going to talk about a game that we love very much, Splatoon 2, which, you know, IGN gave a great rating to. I actually like it even better than our review. I think it's fantastic. It's just such a fresh multiplayer game. But we're going to talk about the five things we want Nintendo to change. Because even though the multiplayer is awesome, it's got a fun single player mode, great co-op play, there are a couple of missteps that we think Nintendo can address over time and actually fix.
Yep.
So we're going to start with the first one. I'll start with one of them. Maybe we'll go around and each pick a different one. Playing with friends. I think playing with friends, it's possible in this game.
Yeah.
But it sure doesn't make it easy for a game that is so centered around multiplayer. And just to give you some examples, if you haven't played Splatoon much, you can do private matches online. So if you have 8 friends, great. You can get them all together. You can do a custom match. You can play. If you have 7 friends, it's a little harder because, you know, you can't actually invite a random player. You can't open up the room. When you're playing Splatfest, you can start a room and fill it with random players, right? Well, actually, you can't.
Nope.
No, you can start a room with 2 people. You cannot invite random players.
Yep.
And so if you have 4 players, you're great. You can play together as a team and you'll be ranked. It was just a Splatfest demo that let you do that.
Yeah.
In Salmon Run, you can, if we want to play with 2 people, we can fill the open spots and play 4 mm-hmm. player just fine. So that's the one mode that allows everything else. Everything else comes with this asterisk. If I see you online, I can try and join you in Turf Wars. But I might not be on your team. It'll get randomized. I also can't voice chat with you.
Yep.
If I want to voice chat with you, I got to set up a room. Boom. I'm limited to the fact that I have to have 4 players.
Like, and you have to have your team. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, there are all these limitations. In League battles, you can do, you have to unlock it. You have to be a level 10. You can do 2 player or 4 player. If you 3 players, Sorry.
Yeah.
One guy goes home. Like, all these weird limitations in this.
Nothing that completely breaks the experience, but as a whole, like, together.
Yeah.
It's frustrating. Like, I was playing with someone. We were in person, and it was the first time I was playing online. I was like, oh, great. Can we join together? And it took, like, back and forth of, oh, wait, no, I'll start the room. No, you start the room.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're together.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we're not on the same team. Oh, well. So much. And we played five games. We were never once on the same
team.
Did
you put his friend code into Skype?
No, I put it into Discord.
There we go. Perfect. Well, here's the thing. Like, I started off, but when Splatfest happened, I started off playing with friends and family using the voice chat app because we were lucky. We're four players, right?
Yeah.
So we were together and that worked. And then the maps rotate. Actually, it was for Salmon Run. We're playing Salmon Run. The maps rotate. You get bumped out. You're done with voice chat the moment it disconnects because you're synced, right? The app and the game are synced up. And so even though nothing changed in Salmon Run, because the Turf Wars maps rotated, you get bumped out. You have to restart the chat. It's just like there's just all these weird caveats between the chat app, the lobby system, and the invites that make it just such a chore.
Yeah.
And so we always just went to Skype.
Yeah, you know,
yes. And at
Skype,
least
Discord seem like such better choices. Yeah. Like, no offense to like their voice app, I know they'll probably like adjust to it.
It'll get better for sure.
Before you do this paid online, which is going to happen in 2018, they have to, you know, figure out a way to adjust the matchmaking, adjust the playing with friends, adjust like the voice app if it paid is going to sound worth it. Honestly,
But the other thing is that in every other multiplayer environment, you can tell what your friends are doing in a game, right?
Yeah.
So I could sign into Xbox Live and I can see that you're playing Splatoon Turf Wars.
Yeah.
In this game, you can't. You can see that you're around and I can try to join you, but I might not. If you happen to be just in overall matchmaking, I can be put in a queue and wait for you to finish. And if I get lucky, somebody drops out and I go into it, but I can't tell what you're doing. I can't message you. Like, it's just this weird starter. I mean, it's a new console, so hopefully it will get better. It has to.
So number two, you guys are far more optimistic than me.
Yep.
You want them to fix voice chat and online, all that stuff. I don't think that will happen.
Really?
So what I want is more offline modes.
Okay.
I want modes that I can play when chat doesn't work, when there's no Wi-Fi, when I'm on a plane and I bring my Switch with me and I boot up Splatoon. We have a really awesome single player campaign. And outside of that, really not much else.
Yep.
So I can play like local wireless with some people for some modes, but I want to be able to jump into a match with bots, level up my character a little bit, shoot some paint around, unlock some new gear and keep going. And then come back into the online mode when I land and bring it up from there. Right now, currently, like in a Switch that's offline, you know, and not connected to anything that isn't near another Switch, it's kind of just an icon on your screen.
Right.
Outside of single player, which is cool. I really like it. But once you finish it, that's that.
And you're done.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be able to play a couple of matches. I want something. Just create some sort of online mode. And I thought I'd remember reading, like, as we led into, like, the sort of, like, understanding more about what Splatoon 2 would be, that this is something that would become part of the actual final package. And it's just, it isn't.
Well, the single player has a couple of, replay options. Like, you can play it again with different weapons, obviously. Mm-hmm. And, like, you can spend a lot of time in the single player mode, but I think you see it when there are the odd arena battles against, you know, Octolings in the single player, the AI isn't very good.
I know.
Right? The enemy AI is very simple.
Yeah.
And so, like, I don't think they're there yet when it comes to the bot game, but yeah, it'd be nice to be able to play more offline.
With single player, I mean, you don't even get to level up. You don't get to keep anything that's in there.
Right.
Which is really frustrating because it's like, why am I going to play single player?
Totally.
But what I miss most about like Splatoon 1 is the fact that we did have offline, like you could play with you and your friend. Now it's like, if you want to host a private battle or host a Salmon Run, you have to have someone else to play with you and they have to have their own Switch.
Right.
You can't play with them separately, which is one of like my huge gripes with it is just, I would like to play with my friends who don't have Switches.
Yeah.
But it's like kind of like, oh, okay, I finished a match. Here you go. It's your turn.
Yeah.
Split screen Salmon Run would have been awesome.
Cool. Yeah. I would agree.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably hard to see, but you look at a game like Mario Kart Deluxe, right? It works in every capacity online and offline, and playing with friends locally is really fun. But you get them out of the picture and you play against bots and it's still really fun. Like I play Grand Prix on flights and you know, all the time. I really, really like doing that. And on Splatoon, I just kind of can't. I have to look at that icon and be like, there's really not a lot there. It's not really worth opening.
Yeah.
So I end up playing something else.
It sucks.
What about number three?
Well,
what you got?
For me personally, I think tying back to sort of online, I would love a little more variation in the map rotation and the limitations of that. Having two at a time, so I got the game, I didn't get it day one, so I've only been playing for about a week and a half. But having it already in that small time, I feel like I get bored of the maps in the 2 hour time period very quickly sometimes. And it's like, I know what I'm going to do as soon as I get on this map. And I'm just repeating that over and over again. Whereas if I had five maps that could randomly generate, it would force me to change up my playstyle a lot more.
Yeah.
And I think force me to get better at the game.
Yeah.
I think there's something to adding that variation that's more fun and more challenging.
Well, for Splatfest, they, Marina made like a new map that she like helped create.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, they're going to bring this one in.
Lily,
and, like,
I have some news for you.
They didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't bring it in. They like, there's some things in Splatfest where it's like they bring it in and then it's gone. And it's like, okay, well, when are you going to bring that new stage in? Are we going to keep that music that is bumping when you're playing against in Splatfest? Like that's good music. That's good. That's a great, it's a great stage.
Yeah.
The like weird Twilight Zone one, like bring that one.
See,
in.
I'm torn because I love that Splatfest is special. Like I love booting up the game
like the idea
and having like the night mode and everything shiny and the music is different.
Yeah.
I dig that, but I hear you. It's a little bit of an issue when the map rotation is so limited, right?
Yeah.
Salmon Run actually does a nice job. Like you jump in.
Yes.
It's not that the map changes very often. Obviously it doesn't, but they mix up the things. Suddenly you have like a mothership attack or, you know, you have the grillers coming in or something, or you have fog or night or the cannons. And like, I love that.
And they change guns too.
Yeah. So, and then the guns change. So it has this randomness factor.
Even if you're stuck on the same level repeatedly, you feel like you have to vary up what you're doing a lot.
Yeah.
You to get better and try things you wouldn't normally, and I think that's something smart.
It's also for like a game that's so pick up and play. You sit down and play a few matches, and you end up with the same map 3-4 times in a row.
Yeah.
And then like that was your session, and it's like a 50-50 chance that you'll get a new map or depending on the rotation. I look at
good
the way
math, good math.
Yeah, I was able to do that.
Yeah.
I went to math school.
Did you do this on your calculator?
Yeah, that's what I did. I brought my calculator out. No, I like we did a Let's Play of Animal Crossing for Nintendo GameCube the other day, and it's up on the site now.
And the number of multiplayer maps.
One of the things I was thinking about that specifically is that when you play that game at different times of the year, different things happen.
Oh, yeah.
And they are, you know, they're sort of like locked down to Christmas or New Year's or whatever it is. But there's items you can get on those days that you can carry home with you all year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's like, I love this, like, sort of like the event specialness of Splatfest, but I do want sort of like souvenir stuff that kind of travels.
Absolutely.
With that, you know, and I think fitting into the map rotation, if they introduce a new map for Splatfest, like, I kind of want to bring that home with me and be able to try it out.
Or the t-shirt.
Even with Splatfest specific maps or anything like that, even if it's a period of like, hey, this will come in 4 months or something.
So
we want to make it special.
Some info,
So one thing that, I mean, they could, like, I don't know why they limit it to the two map rotation. I wish they would expand it to something like five at least. You know, obviously they have a huge back catalog of maps that they can bring in. But if not that, then maybe some sort of special condition like they do in Salmon Run. You know, I brought this idea up before where it's like, could there be a black light thing that happens and you can't tell the difference in the colors?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's more about like remembering where you sprayed and like it becomes much more like you do that one every 10 matches or something. Like just something to break up the, you know, the factor that you brought up. Sometimes you have the same map 4 times in a row.
Yeah. I like I said, I just would love them to bring in, like, if they show us a new map, bring it in.
Yeah.
You know, don't take it away from us. Or if you're going to bring it into the next Splatfest again, like, I don't want you to bring it in, take it away, and then not, like,
Libby does
where
not
is it? Where to go?
Is it in the Disney vault?
Yeah.
I don't want it.
It's mine. I earned it. I didn't. I was team catch up. We didn't do
all one. Right. I got one. I'll go for the fourth one. Online stability and dealing with disconnects. So I've talked to a few friends.
Zach.
You know, Zach was very, very mad. At the beginning, I was like, do I have a bad connection? But we were playing with three switches in my house and only one kept getting disconnected. At a time, like it was never everybody dropped off. So I know it was my internet connection that went away. I've encountered disconnects and people dropping out of the team. And that happens with any game, right? Like you can never expect servers to work 100% of the time. But the problem is Splatoon deals with that in an unfair way. I feel like if somebody drops out in the beginning of your match, you're 3-4. There's literally no way. There's virtually no way you can win unless the other team really doesn't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so you lose and you get dinged for that, right?
Yeah.
Like you are, you know, you don't get the points you deserve. You have no chance at winning, all of that combined. I wish there was some sort of adjustment where either the game said, you know what, this match was just for fun. You know, like it's not going to count towards your record or something.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Or that a disconnected person can join back in. That's exactly what a lot of games do, right?
Yep. Yeah. That's the one that I would love for them to, you know, just have where it's like you get disconnected, but when you go back into the lobby,
yeah,
it's like, would you like to rejoin the match? Or like,
yeah.
Because now it just says, or, this looks pretty suspicious.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing, too. I'm like, it wasn't okay, my fault I got disconnected, and now I'm being treated
or
like
a
suspect.
Like this goes back to my point, but it, like, if you design great AI, like, have an AI character pop
drop
in.
Or buff the three-player team.
Yeah, totally.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, they get a little bit more ink or something. Yep. Like,
or, like,
they're
the special
ways to deal
gauge
with
is a lot higher. That'd be great.
And this wouldn't be an issue if it didn't happen. Like, I feel like every session I play, it happens a couple of times.
Still. You see, like, those phantom people kind of disappear. Like stay in place, like it's weird.
Yes.
Yep. So that's one. Lily, you have another one.
Ooh, let's talk about our favorite thing, matchmaking and the lobby.
All right.
Oh boy, oh boy. So if this is not your favorite thing, it's certainly mine. Let's talk about the fact that we can't exit out or change our equipment. That is, I feel like, the biggest gripe that everyone has about Splatoon 2, and they had about Splatoon 1, is the fact that you can't change your weapon, you can't exit out of the lobby to change your weapon or your gear. You have to play the full game and then quit. And I feel like that's such a huge issue that I wish Nintendo would address.
So in Splatfest, you can bring up you can change your weapon, but in regular play, you can't for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't understand like why at all, because it seems like it's such an easy fix.
Yeah. I mean,
but they don't do it?
I think originally they were thinking they like that chaos element of not knowing what your team members have or the other players have and then kind of committing to it. But yeah, it is really weird because Splatfest lets you change it. Even they could still keep it a mystery if they want that.
Yeah.
You can't see other people's loadouts, but
the fact that it's in there in a certain particular case and isn't all the rest of the time.
Yeah, I think it's odd that a game that sort of pushes you to collect and try so many different weapons also sort of makes that difficult to adjust in between matches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like you have to kind of back out and come back in. But it's like it's like I have an arsenal of like 15 different weapons right now. Like if I'm playing with one and I'm bored and I want to switch over to something else, like let's make it a little bit easier for me.
Especially if you're playing with friends, like if your friend has, for example, a roller and you do too and you play a game, then it's like, okay, I'll quit the game, be right back. And then you have to change, and then you have to wait and hope that someone leaves the lobby.
And that goes back to the playing with friends, right?
Yeah.
Like you have to be lucky then to get back in with your friend.
Yeah.
Because you can't just team up with someone and then matchmake with random people.
Yeah, but it would be so nice if they just like added, you know, like an equipped button that you could do it or just leave the lobby.
Yeah.
What's weird is they did add the ability for loadouts via amiibo. So you can save your loadout to an amiibo and then you can bring it to your friend's house. I thought for sure that make it so you can just quickly switch while you're in the
right.
lobby.
Yeah.
Like matchmaking is actually long enough for you to be able to go into your items. It's also when you're playing Turf Wars or anything, you want to level up your items. So you want to go and check one that hasn't been fully leveled up and maybe swap through, right? It becomes this meta game of leveling up stuff. So it is a really confounding omission.
Yeah. Especially with clothing. I mean, I might be the only one who's like, ooh, I want to upgrade all of my clothing. Mm-hmm. But I can't do that. I have to do the same thing, exit out, and then go back in. And it's just a lot of, like, redundancy that's unnecessary.
A lot of waiting,
I mean, to me, it doesn't seem like this was a purposeful design choice, but more of a technical question.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this is something they'll eventually get to.
Well, this is like, I mean, we're still early in this weird new hybrid console handheld life cycle, right?
Yep.
But every one of these, every game that comes to Nintendo Switch has to work as both a console game and a handheld game. And I think with Splatoon, it's like you start up the game, there's this like minute long speech from the two characters, and then it jumps into the main area. Mm-hmm. You jump into the lobby, you wait, you go into a match, you come out, you wait. Like there's a lot of like, I mean, I think about like the best mobile games I've ever played are the ones that like you're just in a few seconds. That's why people love Flappy Bird, as dumb as it was. Like you're playing that game in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Who loves Flappy Bird?
I don't know.
Nobody loves Flappy Bird.
They hate love it.
Oh my God. Really? You loved
you
it?
Yeah. It was awesome.
Oh, see, well, there
it is. Don't look at me. I didn't.
Anyway,
I was
shutting this down.
I think these games in general need to be a little bit it snappier, right? Like, I think about like Breath of the Wild, like you just hit the button and you're kind of in. There's a loading screen and you're running around in the game.
Or they can do the same thing with Sheldon where they did the ZR where you speed it up. It's like, listen, Marina Pearl, you're great. Speed it up.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
I want to get to
just
that
let
game.
Me snap right
especially
in.
If you have no intentions of playing some of the other modes. You came for a very specific thing like Salmon Run, right?
Yeah. Like,
which,
great.
By the way, you didn't touch on that. Are you happy that you can't play it on certain days?
No, it's a weird thing to me that I haven't loved so far. I know, Lily, you have a little bit of a different opinion. Yeah, but for me, it's been that thing of because I'm not keeping track of the days always in my head where when I can. And so I was asking a friend, oh, we should play never mind.
You can host like private, parties of Salmon Run, but the reason why I like it, and I feel like a lot of people might disagree, is the fact that Salmon Run has a lot of good prizes when you play it often. Like they give you like ability cards, ability chunks. They give you like experience tickets that you can get with like Krusty Sean, which is awesome. Like those are great, but if it's continuous and you have to, and it's open like all the time, you're going to take advantage of it. And I take advantage of it when it's open. Like I play it all the way until I get like, 1200 experience and I get all of those bonuses. And at this point, I'm at 300,000 coins. It's like, what am I going
to
spend
solution.
This on?
You don't need to be invisible.
But you could,
I'm flying.
But they could make it so that they reward times, like only on certain days do you actually get rewards. I mean, that would be one approach
or
to deal with. But I mean, look, we had a lot of suggestions for fixes and improvements, but there's so much awesome stuff in this game as well. Like
every time
I play online and every time I go back into Salmon Run or I just play local multiplayer, I just find so much to love, and so much new to discover.
Yeah. We really love this game.
Characters are so cool. It's I love how like vibrant and different this world is.
Mm-hmm. At this point, it's more of like therapeutic to me. It's like, oh, I'm gonna be right back. It's been a long day. I'm gonna play Turf War.
Yeah, that's right.
Then I'll just play it, and I'll ask people if they want to play it or if they want to play League. Like that's just what I want to do.
So the good news, Nintendo keeps on updating this game, so we'll be probably seeing a lot of updates over time. So hopefully, these five are going to be part of it.
Yep.
So we've got a couple of minutes left before we close out here. So we wanted to get to some question block.
Sure.
Questions from our fans. These come from the IGN inbox this week, nvc@ign.com. If you have any questions for us, remember to keep the questions short. Brian, do you want to start maybe with the first one?
Yeah, sure. I have a good answer for it too, but I'll open up to you guys afterwards. Aaron says, where are the FPS games for Switch? It's first person shooters. This is a huge genre for Nintendo. They're missing out on, especially with big games like Call of Duty and the Battlefront series. Why doesn't Nintendo realize how big this genre is?
I think they realize it.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily Nintendo's fault. I think, we talked about it earlier. EA is waiting to see if they want to port things. Capcom was waiting to see. The third parties are waiting.
Yeah.
And I think for them, they decided, let's not try and port rush ports of all the games coming out this fall.
Right.
We're going to wait till the next cycle. Like Call of Duty World War II is not going to be on there, but the next Call of Duty could easily be on there, and they just didn't want to rush a port out, and I'm glad they didn't, because that when they do that for console launches, I don't think that's great. Like, I don't like those.
I think COD will come for sure.
Absolutely.
But I think Nintendo realizes how big the genre is, and that's why we have games like Splatoon, which grants third person, but still a shooter like that and territory based. And obviously Metroid Prime 4 is coming back, which has that first person element.
Mm-hmm.
But I think also one other reason why we haven't seen a lot of FPSs is, I mean, in the past, certainly Nintendo fans haven't bought some of them
on
the Wii U and the Wii. But also the developers who make them are usually the ones pushing graphical envelopes.
Yes.
Not a lot changes in those games from year to year, right? Like, we leverage this complaint against Call of Duty all the time, although I actually think they innovate quite a bit, and sometimes, people don't
give them credit for
it, right? Like the zombies mode and all that kind of stuff. But these are the best looking games on the market with like a lot of time spent on the graphical engine, and those developers usually aren't that interested in backporting.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's first person shooter as a genre has been synonymous with sort of graphical prowess for a very long time now, if not since sort of its inception. And Nintendo consoles historically kind of haven't been. And the Switch is able to do a lot of really cool stuff. if you've played Breath of the Wild, you know that. There's a bunch of other games. Mario Kart looks stunning on this system. Splatoon looks stunning on this system. I don't really think that it's the first place that anyone wants to go for a first-person shooter because it just doesn't – it's not going to be able to maintain the same level of fidelity. And you look at games like Call of Duty ported to Nintendo Wii. I believe there was a Call of Duty ported to the Wii U. Am I correct?
Yeah.
That was, probably – was one of the like sort of like lowest selling games in the history of that. Well, that's the other thing, right? I mean, you do have a sort of like – kind of statistically younger user base a lot of times that don't gravitate towards those things. There were Call of Duty games ported to DS. And if you want to know what like an action intensive set piece heavy first person shooter with all the bells and whistles looks like completely stripped down of all those things. Yeah. I mean, it's like laughable.
That sounds crazy.
Yeah. But they're games like PUBG, right? Like PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds that aren't as graphically intensive as these games. And I feel like that is a miss. Like,
yeah. Well,
Microsoft was smart to jump on
that to get it as
a limited time exclusive.
Yeah.
But that game on the go would be so awesome too.
I think with
friends.
The thing about looking at the Switch and Nintendo's history, also multiplayer, first person shooter, especially multiplayer games are online heavy. Like there's the emphasis on online play. And yes, the Wii U and the Wii had online capabilities, but they weren't the same as what we were looking at with Xbox and PlayStation. And now that obviously Switch is making that push, but this is brand new for Nintendo and third parties. Could be worried.
So my suggestion, because I don't want to just give up on this genre entirely on the Switch, is that developers start looking at classic stuff that works, single player focused stuff that works. I would love to see a port of the BioShock collection, for example.
That would be
really awesome.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
I would love to see a port of like GoldenEye or Perfect Dark in HD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we've been asking for those for ages. People have worked on them. They
exist. Something like Wolfenstein.
Yeah. Something that works really well for that platform, doesn't lean on voice chat, online, or graphical prowess. And
I'll say something really quick about it. Like I 100% agree with everybody. I do think that the developers just don't see Call of Duty or Battlefield in the Nintendo Switch. But I would 100% agree if they did BioShock, if they did GoldenEye, because the Switch
Battlefront, Star Wars.
If the Switch to me is more of like a platformer, like let's take it back to like more of a story arc, which is what GoldenEye was.
Yeah,
BioShock is more story-like. If you're looking for online, I would say stick to like Xbox One, PS4, PC. But if you're looking for story FPS, the Switch is 100% the place to go to.
I agree.
Yep. So we have question for one more time. Yoda Schneider. We have time for one more question before we gotta go because they need the studio and they're gonna start throwing fruit at us and we can't turn invisible. Or fly.
Wow.
I can fly out of here.
So next question comes from Kieran. With Nintendo's business model for the Switch seemingly being to keep a constant flow of quality first-party games, what would your predictions for 2018 releases be? Obviously, we know about Yoshi and Kirby, and you would expect Animal Crossing to perhaps tie in with a mobile game. But what about the remaining 9 months? I think 2018 is too early for both Prime 4 and Pokemon.
It is. Those are not.
What do you think is coming?
Because those games were not games when they were announced.
They were logos, right?
Yes, they were logos. Yeah. 2018, Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker 2. I would love that. I don't think it would be that intensive. I think we're going to see a couple more Wii U ports.
Yep.
Like deluxe editions. Smash Brothers has to come. And
I think that's the big
awesome.
One. Smash.
Yeah. You put out Smash in March with all of the DLC characters. It's an early game that will sell like crazy. And I will happily pick that up to have
Metroid Prime Trilogy Collection.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I think I'm in the minority. That would say I would love a Rhythm Heaven. Like,
sure.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Oh, man. Yeah. Rhythm Heaven and Nintendo DS and then on the Wii U was so much fun. I would love it to come back.
I just think they will go. They still have a lot to prove with this machine. And I think they will go for bigger names first, right? Mm-hmm. That's why, like, it feels like you're getting an installment in every franchise, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're getting Fire Emblem Warriors. We're getting Kirby and Yoshi and Metroid and Zelda and Mario and Mario Kart. And so the ones missing are definitely Smash Brothers and Animal Crossing, as Kieran said.
Yeah.
I feel like Animal Crossing's gotta be there.
It's gotta
happen. Be great.
Yeah. I think the big release first party thing every month is gonna slow down significantly in 2018. I think it's like we're setting our expectations.
Think they're running out?
I just think they're probably looking at stuff like ARMS going head to head with Splatoon a month apart and that sort of cannibalizing each other's, you know, bodies or however you cannibalize. I don't eat people, sorry. But I think that next year we're gonna see it slow down a little bit, but we will see big stuff. Like you probably will see an Animal Crossing. You will we'll see a Smash Brothers port. I'd love to see a new WarioWare, like if we're going yeah. into oh, the deep yes. chest of weird
Waluigi
Nintendo stuff.
Waluigi's single.
Waluigi's Taco Stand. We're finally going to get that game.
Mario sports games. Like I'd love another tennis or a golf or yeah. things like that. But also I think I'd love to see more partnerships. Obviously we have to see the full game, but Mario plus Rabbids.
Yep.
Like more third party related ones that you wouldn't expect this type of game. But so far from everything I played, like I'm very excited to play more of it. And I think more potential for them.
I also think what sort of significant improvements they can offer to their virtual console line
yeah.
will help in lieu of sort of padding that out. If they go like, this month we have Mario 64 and like it looks and plays great and here we go.
Yeah, well, we have 64, we have GameCube. Yeah.
I would like to see Mushroom Kingdom Garden Warfare.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd play that.
That'd be very
yeah.
nice, right? All right, those are all the topics we have for you this week. This is the end of NVC as you know it. This
as
episode.
You know
this
it.
Episode,
whoa.
Just this week. Calm down. It's okay.
Well, we are we're going to pack up. We're going to fly to Germany for Gamescom.
Yeah, we're
going to
check in our flights.
You can probably watch us live with NVC from Germany yep. in Cologne. Probably very, very sleepy, but we'll tell you everything.
There.
We'll tell you everything we played at the show. NVC is, of course, not the only show at IGN. You can check out the IGN show. That's a great name for what it actually is, which is kind of like our, you know, our summary of everything that we're excited about. It airs on Disney XD on television every weeknight, but you can also watch it on IGN the next morning. And then, of course, there's Game Scoop and Beyond and Up at Noon. Yep. You just did the Animal Crossing play on Up at Noon.
We're putting it up to, yeah, it's up now. We put up an hour-long Let's Play of Animal mm-hmm. Crossing for Nintendo GameCube.
So fun.
Because we're weird and why not? For yeah. our 100th episode of Up at Noon Live.
Awesome. And Unlocked, of course, and our many wonderful shows. Where can people find you when you're not on NVC? For example, on Twitter?
Oh, Splatoon 2, LilyXYZ. And then on Twitter, yeah. it's CoolCatLilyZ.
Awesome. Yeah. I'm at Agent Bizzle.
I'm at JM Dornbush.
And I'm Pear IGN, and we're out.
Team Flight.
Bye.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.